Today's daf is daf Ayin Aleph. We're going to start at Ayin Amabed, right around where the lines get wide. We had ended, okay, just to review, we were trying to come up with the source for where we know Rabbi Yossi Haglili Shita. Okay, let's even go back for a quick minute. The Mishnah says at the top of Ayin Amabed, a behema shemet ubara b'toch me'eha, v'hoshit haro'et yado v'nagabo, right? So we have a behema that the ubar, the fetus, dies in the womb. So the question is, does it have tumah nevela or not? So if it's a behema tohara, everybody agrees there's no tumah nevela based on the kal vachomer of Chista, that if the mother could, if we view it as just part of the mother's body, basically, so if we shech the mother, the fetus doesn't even need shechita, then obviously it would save it, right? Obviously in this case, we're not, right? The issue is, can we, would it become tame tumah nevela? Obviously not. However, where we have a behemah tameah, where the shechita of the mother obviously doesn't matter what's inside, it's all not kosher anyway, then we have a machloka. Tanakama says it's the same as behemah torah because he makes this hakesh between the two. Chi yamut min ha-behemah asher hi lachem le'ochla. Min ha-behemah is tameah, asher hi lachem le'ochla is torah. Right, again, it's confusing the lashon of torah and tameah. Torah and tameah in this context means kosher and not kosher. And therefore, we're going to say what's true for one is true for the other. According to Rabbi Yossi Haglili, doesn't make that kavachomer, that hekesh. And interestingly enough, by the way, you could just say he doesn't hold by that hekesh. But instead, they want to find a pasuk by which he can prove it. We brought Rabbi Yitzchak, we start with Rabbi Yitzchak, who said it's from the pasuk, b'chol holecha kapav b'chol hachaya. B'chol hachaya means in a chaya, meaning a fetus. And there it says it's going to be tme'ah. And therefore, it is tumah nevela, right? That's the pasuk that talks about nevela. Kol anogeh b'latam yitmara erev. So if the subject of that is a fetus, then yes. Then we had a whole bunch of questions, right? Because the assumption there is it's holech al arba. Arba meaning non-split hooves. We had a whole bunch of different questions. So we got to, well, wait a minute. Then you could have a chazir, ben chazir. That wouldn't be tameh because it's not holech al arba. It's holech al shmona because it also has split hooves. And then what you're going to say, a chazir, fetus of a chazir is not metame tumah nevela. How could that be? So Rav Nachman brings a different pasuk, well, the same pasuk, but a different part of that pasuk. And he says, we're going to learn it from, he uses a different pasuk entirely. He takes it from the beginning in Vayikra Perek Hey, the pasuk about if you forget that you didn't realize you were tame, right? Nefesh ki techta v'chule, o tiga, o nefesh asher tiga b'chol davar tame, o b'nivlat chayat mea, o b'nivelat behemat mea, he forgets. I want you to notice this pasuk because we're going to darshan it soon in a different way. He forgets entirely, in other words, he touches something tameh, okay, or nivlat, right? He becomes tameh and he forgets, he doesn't remember, and he's tameh v'ashem. Now the question is, what did he do? Right? It doesn't say what he did. We're going to have to darshan what did he do. If you remember when we learned it then and way back when, he ate kudshim, okay? He ate something that was sanctified while he was tameh. There's no issur to become tameh, okay? It's just he didn't realize he was tameh, and then he ate basar kudshim. We're going to darshan up in this pasuk soon. But right now, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak is going to use the pasuk to say, what do you see is listed here? He became tameh how? All by behemot tmeot. Behemot torot are not mentioned. What can we infer from here? That since the Torah, we know, also is metame tumah nevela, and it's not mentioned, there must be some case where it's not. What's that case? Zehu bar shebitmeah, tameh ubetorah tahor. Okay, I'm now starting from the fifth wide line. Umeachar denafka lemi derav Nachman bar Yitzchak, derav Yitzchak not lamali. If we already have this pasuk of Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, then what do we need Rabbi Yitzchak's pasuk for? Now, this is a strange question. What do you mean? We just rejected Rabbi Yitzchak's pasuk and took Rav Nachman's pasuk. So Tosfot says, right, can't be that that's the question. And he says what the question is why did Rabbi Yitzchak bring his pasuk if Rav Nachman's pasuk is better? Now, it's a strange question because we can ask that any time we reject someone's question. But here's going to be the answer. There's going to be an answer that we actually need both. E lav to Rabbi Yitzchak, we didn't have Rabbi Yitzchak's pasuk, hava amina kule l'chirebi hudata. Ka mashmalan. You might have thought that you needed that whole pasuk, about the nevesh ki tigab b'chol tameh, all that, you needed all those words for what purpose? for this drasha of Rebbe that we're going to see in a few minutes. Okay, so I'm going to leave it right now because we'll see it later today. We might have thought that you need the pasuk for that, and it's not free to darshan Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Kamash malan. Therefore, you need Rabbi Yitzchak to tell us bi'ikaron. There is some case where only tume'ah and not tahorah, but it's not so clear from Rabbi Yitzchak which case this is, because we rejected it with the chazir, and therefore you need this pasuk to say, ah, it's an easily distinction. It's not four legs, eight legs, and that kind of difference. It's tahor tameh, which comes from this pasuk. So you get the basic idea from Rabbi Yitzchak's pasuk, and then Rav Nachman builds on that and specifies exactly what case. Tanya. Now we're going to quote a braita. This braita is going to describe a conversation between Rabbi Yonatan and Ben Azai. It's an interesting, I would say conversation, because you're going to see the wording they use, namti, which means I almost like from a ne'um, a speech. So I spoke to, I said to him this, he said to me that. It's a strange usage. We don't usually see this word, but it's interesting the way he discusses the story. Amar Rabbi Yonatan, namti lo le Ben Azai. I said to Ben Azai, lamanu nevela behemata hora shemitama. Benivelat behemat me'a shemitama. Nivelat chayat me'a shemitama. Okay, and that's, we have psukim four. Okay, right, we have our two sides. We have tahor tamei, we have behemang chaya. So let's do all four permutations. We have, he starts with behema tahora. We know that that's mitame from the pasuk. Ki yamud mina behema asher hi lachem lochla. That's clear, right? Behema tahora. Okay, that's tumat nevela. Nevela behema tmea and nevela chaya tmea we have from the pasuk we just quoted, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. If you touch, right, chol devar tmea, nevelat chaya tmea or nevelat behema tmea, it says in the pasuk. So we have all three of those, but what's missing? What don't we have an explicit pasuk for? Chaya tahora lo lamanu minayin. In other words, that we've never learned. So therefore, tell me where you learn it from. There's no explicit pasuk. So basically, Rabbi Yonatan is asking Ben Azai, I want a pasuk for nevela chaya tahora. Okay, that's what he's looking for. Chaya tahora. Okay. So now, what are we going to say? Namli, Ben Azai answers me, kol holecha kapav b'chol achaya ha'olechet. We learn it from the pasuk, kol holecha kapav b'chol achaya ha'olechet. Notice it says, right, it's talking about holecha kapav, right, and it says in that pasuk, kol holecha kapav b'chol achaya ha'olechet al arba, tume'im hem lachem, so here you see chaya, it's tume'ah, it's the holecha al arba, not the holecha shmone, kol hanogea b'nivlatam yitma'ar erev. There's a pasuk. Namti lo, as I said back to him, okay, Rabbi Yonatan now responded, what happened? Rabbi Yonatan asked the question, Ben Azai responded with this pasuk. Comes Rabbi Yonatan, he says to him, v'chine emar v'chol chaya, doesn't say v'chol, v'chol chaya, and all chayot. That's v'halolone emar ela, what it says is, b'chol hachaya. Remember how we darshan, it's like behema, b'behema, b'chol chaya comes to teach, l'mehalchei kapayim b'chaya hudata. It comes to teach you about fetuses, not about the actual chaya. Nam li, so he answers back to him, so now, how did it work? I keep reminding you just because it's a little confusing. But you have to keep remembering where we're up to. Rabbi Yonatan asked the question of Ben Azai. Ben Azai answered. Rabbi Yonatan rejects his answer. Ben Azai now says to Rabbi Yonatan, he shoots the question back at him. He says, "Umay Yishmael omer b'davar hazeh." So, what is really Rabbi Yishmael? But notice he calls him Yishmael. Okay, pay attention to that. He says, "And what is Yishmael, who was the rabbi of Rabbi Yonatan? What does your teacher say about this?" And it's, right? What do you got to say? Which is interesting because you wouldn't expect him to have an answer. Why did he ask Ben Azai in the first place? But surprisingly enough, he does have an answer, right? Sometimes people ask questions. Maybe he wanted to see what Ben Azai had to say, right? Maybe he wasn't sure of his rabbi's answer. I don't know. But, okay, in the end, it turns out Rabbi Yonatan actually knew the answer. So, nam tilo, I said back to him, because remember, Rabbi Yonatan's telling this whole story, b'chi yamut min ha-behema. Okay, remember that pasuk, right? Chi yamut min ha-behema, asher hi lachem lo'cha. How do we darshan it? Ki yamut min ha-behema is zo behema t'mea. Asher hi lachem la'ochla zo behema tahora. Lamadnu, now notice this doesn't say chaya. Remember, we're trying to find chaya tahora. So what do we say here? I'm sorry. We're trying to find my mistake. I can't believe I wrote that. It's Chayat Me'ah we're looking for. Okay. Sorry about that. My mistake. We're looking for Chayat Me'ah, right? That's what they call it. The Pasuk Kolech Al Arba. Okay. Sorry for the confusion. So now, what do we say here? Here it says Behemat Me'ah and Behemat Torah. Now, Behemat Me'ah is unnecessary because we already learned Behemat Me'ah from a different Pasuk. So what do we say? Lamanu Chaya Bechlal Behemah Ubehema Bechlal Chaya. Okay, what do we learn? Anytime it says Behema, it includes Chaya. And anytime it says Behema, it includes Chaya. Anytime it says Chaya, it includes Behema. Anytime it says Behema, it includes Chaya.
Both of them.
Each include the other. So now, the assumption here, I think, is more like it's an Imei No Inyan. If you can't learn it, I think, if I remember correctly, when I was preparing, someone else has the girsa that it's Imei No Inyan Lezeh, Tenei Winyan Lezeh. Okay, if there's no point for it here, then must be teaching about something else. Anyway, that's what we're going to learn here. And so not only, right, Behema, Bechlal Chaya, Chaya, now he's going to go even more explicitly, Chaya Tehora, Bechlal Behema Tehora, Chaya Tmea, Bechlal Behema Tmea. Behema Tmea, Bechlal Chaya Tmea, Behema Tehora, Bechlal Chaya Tehora. Okay? So he says, and this works in all directions for all the options, for the Torah, for the Tmea, for the Chaya, for the Behema, right? You can learn one from the other. So he basically brings him that quote. Ubelashon hazeh amar li. So then, what did he respond, Ben Azai? He says, this is classic, you know people with this kind of personality, chaval al Ben Azai. He says about himself, oh, so chaval that I never what? Shelo shimeshet Rabbi Yishmael. Okay, he says, what a loss that I never sat and studied with Rabbi Yishmael. First of all, notice here all of a sudden he calls him Rabbi Yishmael. The beginning of the story was just Yishmael. Right? Almost you see he was kind of arrogant at the beginning of the story. Right? He says, oh, well, what does your teacher say? You don't like my answer. What does your teacher say? In the end, he realizes I should have studied with the great Rabbi Yishmael. And, you know, it's that could have, should have, right, that kind of attitude and, you know, upset with himself at what he didn't do. Okay, now we're going to go and talk about this statement. Chaya bechlal behema minal. And how do we know that chaya is included in the terminology behema? Okay, we're going to go through the different possibilities, you know, the different options. So chaya bechlal behema minal. Dichtiv zot behema asher tochlu. It says these are the kosher animals that you can eat. Shor, sek, savim. Okay, those are all behemot. Then in the list, it continues to say, ayal v'tzvi v'yachmor, which are chayot. Remember, what are chayot and what are behemot? Behemot are domesticated animals, and chayot are non-domesticated animals. So the ayal and the tzvi and the yachmor are chayot, and yet they're listed in a list of behemot. So there you see that behema includes chaya. Haketzad, chaya bechlal behema. Haketzad, right, how can this make sense? Because chaya is bechlal behema. Okay, that's your answer. Now, the next one. How do we know that behema is bichlal chaya? How do we know that the term chaya can include also behema, minelan? Dichtiv, zot ha-chaya asher tochlu, mikol ha-behema asher al ha-aretz. This is the chaya that you can eat from all the behemot that are in the land. Kol mefreset parsa v'chulei. Ha-ketzad, how does this make sense? We start with chaya, we continue with behema. Ah, because behema is bichlal chaya. Okay, the term chaya can include behemot. Chaya tehora bechlal behema Torah. Now we're going to talk about the statement that they made where they went into all the specifics, right? Where he said, a chaya Torah is bechlal behema Torah. What's the relevance for this? L'simanim. In other words, why do we care that anytime it says behema Torah, it includes a chaya Torah? That's because when it talks about in the Torah, it says, zot harei asher tochlu mikol ha-behema asher al ha-aretz. These are simanim for behemot. And we want to tell you, right, for kosher animals, these are also simanim for kosher chayot. Chayat me'a bichlal behemat me'a leharba'a. What's the relevance of knowing that a chayat me'a is included in a behemat me'a? Because it says behemtecha lo tarbiya kilayim. You can't crossbreed your animals, which they're claiming here refers to non-kosher animals, and it would include that the isser also applies to non-kosher chayot. Behemat me'a bichlal chayat me'a. So for now, we have to remember there's four permutations here because there's. Each one includes the other, right? Each behemat Torah includes chayat. All those four options. So now, a behemat me'ah is included in a chayat me'ah. What's the relevance of that? L'chidi Rebbe, for what Rebbe says. Now we get to that drasha of Rebbe that we made reference to earlier. Titanya, Rebbe Omer, Hekra ani chaya, behema lama ne'emra. Ne'emra kan, okay, now what's this? The pasuk says, okay, again, it's the pasuk in Vayikra, hey, pasuk bet. O nefesh asher tiga, bechol davar tameh. O benivlat chayat me'ah. O benivlat behemat me'ah. Okay, so notice it says chayat me'ah, right? And then it says behemat me'ah. So now the question is why, right? So now they're going to dart. Rebbe's going to darshan this. Ekra ani chaya, right? So once I have chaya behema lama ne'emra, what do I need the behema for? If we assume that one is bechal the other. Ne'emra kan behema tme'ah, v'ne'emra lahalan behema tme'ah. So now he says, the reason behema is mentioned in this pasuk, now if you remember, when I read this pasuk earlier today, what did I point out? That what's missing in this pasuk? It says, if you touch something tame'ah, Nevela chaya tmeah, or nevela behema tmeah, and then you forget, v'hu tameh v'ashem. And you did something wrong, but it doesn't say what you did wrong. So how are we going to know what we did wrong? Ah, the word behema tmeah is a phrase, the phrase appears somewhere else. Where else does it appear? Ne'amar lahalan, here it says behema tmeah. And I'm sorry, ne'amar kan behema tmeah, and ne'amar lahalan, and in another place it says behema tmeah. Ma lahalan tumat kodesh, av kan tumat kodesh. Okay, in the pasuk elsewhere, it says, I'll just find the pasuk. It doesn't bring it in the Torah or here. One second. Rashi doesn't quote the pasuk. Okay, it's in the context of a tameh she'achal. Right, Rashi says it's tameh she'achal et hakodesh. It's talking about the pasuk that says that you get karet if you ate kodshim while you were tameh. There it also says, I'm just going to find the pasuk. One second. Nefesh ki tiga. Here it is. Okay. Nefesh ki tiga b'chol tameh b'tum'at adam o b'behema tmeah. Okay, this is a person who, or right, who touches any tameh, whether it's tum'at adam o b'behema tmeah, or he comes in contact with a nevela, right, of a behema tmeah, o b'chol sheket tameh, v'achal mi b'sar zevach ha'shlamim asher la'ashem, v'nekrata nefesh himeh ameha. Right, if he then eats kodshim, he then gets karet. So what do you see here? The behemat me'ah, when it's referenced in a different pasuk, is referring to eating kodshim. That's how we know, according to Rabbi, and this is the way everybody understands this pasuk, if you remember we learned it, that what did he do wrong? He ate kodshim. So Rabbi says, right, so now, again, what were we trying to figure out, though? The behemat me'ah is bichlal chayat me'ah, meaning chaya could have included behemah. How do you see that from Rabbi's drasha? Because if chaya didn't include behema, then behema wouldn't be free to darshan. What he's saying is, right, he started off and he said, you could have just had chaya. Why do you also have behema? Right, because behema would have been bechlal chaya. The reason is to do a gzera shava between this behema and the other behema tmea, to learn that what did he do wrong in our pasuk? He ate kodshim. Okay? So, ma lahalan tumat kodesh, av kan tumat kodesh. Okay, so that's how we learn, right, it's a... Again, the whole point of Rebbe isn't to teach this. It's just that Rebbe's drasha is premised on the fact that chaya includes behema, and therefore behema is unnecessary in that pasuk. Next one we want to figure out. Behema tehora, bichlal chaya tehora. What's the relevance of a behema tehora being included in a chaya tehora? Le'yitzira, for the purposes of creation. Okay? In Bereshit it says... Bayetzer, you can find the pasuk in Rashi, in Behema Torah, Bechal Chayat Torah, Liyitzira. Digabe Chayak Tive, Bebreshit, right, in the creation. Vayitzar Hashem Elokim Min HaAdam, Min HaAdama, Ko Chayat HaSadeh. So notice the word creation is used by Chayot. It doesn't say they're Behemot, okay? The term Yitzira, creation, is used with the Chaya. And now we're going to show that this includes also a Behema. To a halachic relevance. What's the halachic relevance? So, ditnan. Here's a Mishnah. Hamapelet min behema chaya ve'of. Okay, if there's a miscarriage of a type of behema, chaya, or bird. Bein tmeim, bein tahorim. Okay, whether they're kosher or non-kosher. Im zachar. Right, why is this bein tmeim? One second. going to have to remember the context of this for a second. This is... Right. Oh, sorry. Right. That's why I forgot what the context is. It's a very strange case. It's a woman who gives... We're not talking about animals here, okay? This is a woman who gives birth. This reminds me of some miniseries that was on when I was a kid. It was like one of these freaky miniseries that humans gave birth to like some creature type thing. I don't know if I remember it. It was some weird sci-fi thing. So a woman has a miscarries, and the fetus has a look like it's a behemah or chaya or oaf. Okay, whether it looks like, you know, the appearance is of some sort of, you know, creature. Im zachar, so now if you can figure out whether the creature was zachar or nekeva, so im zachar, tishev lezachar. Remember, there's different days of how many days a woman has to, right, after a miscarriage, after a certain stage, you have to, right, you assume after 40 days it's already formed. You have to wait then 7 days for the male, plus 33 clean days where she's not actually tamei'ah, nida, you know, like she can sleep with her husband. She can't go to the mikdash. She needs those 40 days. For a nikeva, it's 14 and 66, right? Altogether 80. So if it's zachar, teshev lezachar. Im nikeva, teshev lenikeva. Eino yadua, but if it's not known, teshev lezachar ule nikeva devrei Rabbi Meir. She has to be machmir both directions. What does that mean, actually? If it's a nekeva, so she's, if she doesn't know, maybe it's a nekeva, so she has to wait the 14. But maybe it's a zachar, in which case her dam tohar is only 40 days. Because then any blood she bleeds after will forbid her to her husband. However, she still can't go to the mikdash till after 80 days. It's like an in-between all those options. Okay, so that's what she would have to do if she wasn't sure. The chachamim omrim, kol she'eino mitzurat adam, eino vlad. Okay, if it's not mitzurat adam, that's not considered a vlad. So now, one second. So according to this, the whole issue is, why does she have to wait, according to Rabbi Meir, all those days? Because anything, even if it looks like a chaya, right, or an oaf or a behemah, that's still a creation, right? It's something that was created from Briat HaOlam. And it's a loss of that kind of life. So therefore, or the truth is if it was born also. But basically what we're saying is that not only chaya, right, but that we're going to apply the vayetzer also to a behemah. Okay? Even though it only said vayetzer by chaya. Okay, now we have, now we're going back. Okay, there's different ways of understanding this line, but we're going to read according to Rashi, that this line is now going back all the way to the beginning. Okay, we have this machloket, Rabbi Yossi Haglili and Chachamim, right, Tanakama. Remember, Rabbi Yossi Haglili said that it's only going to apply to, right, the heter, that it's not an avela, is only behemat Torah, not behemat Tmeah. And Tanakama said it's both. So now, according to Tanakhama, we disagree with Rabbi Yossi Haglili, Hai Kra Lamali. What do they do with this pasuk about the Tumat Nevela in a Chayat Me'a and a Be'emat Me'a, right? That pasuk that we brought before, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, about B'chol, right? What does he do with that pasuk? Nefesh Kitiga B'chol Tameh, Obenivla Chayat Me'a, Obenivla Be'emat Me'a. What do we say is missing here? We're missing Behema Tehora. And what does that come to say? Right? That only Behema Tehora is going to have... Their fetus is not going to have tumat nevela, but a behemah tmea will. So what does he do with that pasuk? So very simply, what do we answer? Kule lecherebi lechederebi huda'ata. Remember, we darshan two things from that pasuk. We darshan the behemah Torah, and we also darshan Rebbe's drasha that said behemah tmea is coming to teach us. We're going to learn from the other behemah tmea that the subject of this sentence, this verse, or the context of this verse is that while he was tamei ate kodshim, he's going to say that whole pasuk just comes for that. Don't learn anything about the behemah Torah and the fetus and all that. So that's how he's going to resolve that. There's another way to understand this, because what's the obvious problem? Why was this mentioned here? Why wasn't this mentioned earlier? We finished with Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, right? This should have been before the story of Rabbi Yonatan that started to compare the chaya b'chlal behemah, behemah b'chlal chaya, all that. So it makes a little less sense that it's positioned here. Okay, next Mishnah. Ha'isha shemet v'lada v'toch me'eha. Okay, we have a woman who unfortunately has a stillbirth, stillborn child, while it's still inside. So now there's a dead body inside, a dead fetus. Upashta chaya et yada v'nag'abo. Okay, so now what happens? The midwife comes. Chaya is not, right? Chaya is another term for a midwife. It's confusing here. Right? We have a lot of confusing things. We have Tumea and Toha, which mean two different things, right? Does it mean Tumea and Tara? Does it mean kosher, non-kosher? Chaya, which is also a term for a midwife. Or I think it also could be a term for the... No, it must be just the midwife here. Sometimes I think it refers to the woman who's giving birth is also called a chaya. Mm-hmm. I think, if I remember correctly, in Yoma, when they talk about what a pregnant woman can eat, I think they call her a chaya. I think so. So, okay. I think it's in Yoma. Haisha shemei v'lada v'toch me'ehu, pashta chayat yada. So she puts her hands in to take out the fetus, the dead fetus, v'nag'abo, and she touches it. Hachayat me'a tum'at shiva, so she herself becomes tamei tum'at me'a. Vaisha tehora ad she'etzei havlad. But the woman herself who gave who was giving birth here, she's tum'at tehora just because she has, this is interesting, right? There's a dead fetus inside her. That doesn't make her tamei. It's only once, ye'etzei havlad, and if it touches her body on the way out, right? That's the assumption, it's touching her body on the way out, then she'll be tamei tum'at me'a. Amar Rabba. Keshet, 1 second. I just want to check one thing. Don't see. 1 second. Right, we're going to get to the details of this further on. Okay. Amar Rabba. So Rabba now says, Keshem shetum'a blu'a eina mitam'a, kach tara blu'a eina mitam'a. Okay. Just like tum'a that's swallowed up inside you isn't mitame. Likewise, okay, we're going to see what all these things are. Likewise, tahara blua is not mitame. Doesn't mitama means it doesn't become tame. In other words, if something's inside your body, number one, it doesn't come out to be mitame other things, and number two, it doesn't become tame from things from the outside. Okay, we're going to talk about exactly what this is. Tuma blua minalan. So Rabba basically made the statement that. Basically, once something's swallowed up, it's number one, it doesn't become tame, and it also doesn't cause other things to become tame. So, tum'a blu'a minalan, how do we know that if it's swallowed up inside you, it's not going to be mitame other things? Dichtiv, v'ha'ochel minivlata yechabes begadav. Mi lo askina. Now, what does this mean? If you eat from a nevela, what do you have to do? You become tame, and yechabes begadav, you have to... Clean, right, your clothing becomes tame because you become a risha, right? You eat from a nevela, what happens? The nevela, right, when you come in contact with the nevela, you become tame. The nevela is an avatuma, you're a rishon. The rishon's metame is sheni, you're kelim, right, you're begadim. So now, what are you supposed to do then? You go to the mikvah, and then when the sun sets, right, you become tahor. So, Milo askinan, is this not a case da'achal samuch l'shkiyat hachama? The way I assume this doesn't mean this must be the case that you ate samuch l'shkiyat hachama, but they're saying even if you ate just before shkiyat hachama, okay, and then you went to the mikvah, okay, think about it. What happens then? You go to the mikvah, you become tahor, right? What's the problem? You ate it. You ate it, you became tamei. You go to the mikvah, you become tahor, but what's the problem? If you still ate right before Shkiyat HaChama, the food is still in you. It's not fully digested yet. Mm-hmm. So that's Tumah Blua. It's stuff that's tame inside your body, yet it doesn't prevent you from becoming Tahor. V'kam Rachmana, and the Torah says Tahor. So this means basically, since it could potentially happen right before Shkiyat HaChama, you could go to the mikvah before Shkiyat HaChama, and then, you know, sun sets and you're Tahor, even though the food's still inside you. Mm-hmm. But maybe this is different. This food, once you chew it up, it's no longer ra'oi for a ger. Why does it matter a ger? Because what does the pasuk say? In Devarim Yudale Kafalif, it says, Lo tochlu kol nevela, don't eat any nevela, la ger asher bisharecha titnena. That means, right, like a ben Noach. You know, why the B'nai Noach, the Gerim living among you, is called the Ger Toshav. Give it to him, v'achala, o mechor l'nochri, or sell it to a non-Jew. So what do you see here? Since Tuma Nevela can only be something that's ra'oi for Ger to eat, and once you start swallowing it, it's no longer ra'oi for Ger to eat. So that might be why. In other words, it's no longer considered in you, because for the purposes of Tuma, that wouldn't be Mitame anymore. So maybe that's why. And they say, ah, well, that only works. Ha'anicha, that answer is good. L'Rabbi Yochanan, da'amar, echadzo v'echadzo ad l'kelev. Shapir. We can answer that question. Actually, they're going to say like this. That was a question. We can answer that question. Oh, maybe you need Ro'oi L'Ker. No. Because Rabbi Yochanan says it actually has to be only Ro'oi L'Kelev. And once you put the food in your body and start digesting it, that still would be Ro'oi L'Kelev, which again would prove Tum'ah B'lu'ah, right? You would learn from here that Tum'ah B'lu'ah doesn't do anything. Because here you see, he toveled even though he had this stuff inside him. It's not Ro'oi L'Ker. Ela lebar pada damar tuma chamura l'ger v'tuma kad la'ad l'kelev mishum delo chazi l'gerhu. So they say, but if you say like bar pada, who says, now there's different explanations of what's tuma chamura and what's tuma kala. Let's just go with Rashi. Rashi says tuma chamura l'ger means in ava tuma that's metame rishon, which is what we're talking about, the nevela is metame the adam, that you need Ro'oi L'Ker. For Tumakala, which means for a Rishon to be Mitame Sheni, like the Adam to be Mitame Kelim, you would need Ad L'Kelev. You would need it to be Ra'oi L'Achila Kelev, meaning a lower level. But anyway, either which way you see it, this Tuma is Tuma Chamura, okay? And it would be need to be Ra'oi L'Ger, and that's why Mishum De Lo Chazya L'Gerhu. Therefore, it doesn't teach us anything about Tuma Balua, because this isn't even Ra'oi anymore. So what do they answer? Great answer, I think. Nihi delo chazia befanav, shelo befanav mechze chazia le. If we're assuming you did this right before Shkiat HaChamah, so the assumption is maybe you swallowed this food without actually chewing it up. Now, yes, it's gross, right? If you would regurgitate that and give it to someone else to eat, it would be disgusting. But what they're saying is, well, maybe it would be disgusting if you knew. But if you didn't know that it was regurgitated food and it wasn't so crushed up, in theory, a human could eat it, okay? If you didn't tell him, shalom b'fanav, okay? If you didn't tell the person, right, this is classic, right? If something fell on the floor, right? And classic question, what do? All your food falls on the floor and you have all these guests, you know, do you pick it up? If they don't know, you know, then they'll be willing to eat it. If they knew, they probably wouldn't eat it. So anyway, that's the answer here, which means that still, it could be Ro'oi L'Ger, which means, again, it proved from a balua. Okay, so that's how we learned about Tuma B'lua. Eshchan Tuma B'lua, Tahara B'lua Minalan. How do we know that if you have something inside you that's Tahor, and there's a possibility of it becoming Tameh, it doesn't become Tameh because it's inside your body? So they say like this, Kavachomer. It's a Kavachomer from Klicheres. Uma Klicheres hamukaf tzami patil she'eino matzil ala Tuma shebitochomi l'tameh. Damamar tuma ritzutza bokat vola ad l'rakia. Okay. Matzil al tarasha betocha militame adam. One second, let's stop for a minute. We're like in the middle of a something, but I want to start explaining. So let's start with the amarmar and then we'll go backwards. Tuma ritzutza bokat vola ad l'rakia. What does that mean? Right? That if you have tuma in the ground, right, what happens? The tuma goes all the way up to the shamayim, right? That's why people talk about problems with Kohanim going on airplanes and the airspace going over graves. So tuma can basically, right, as long as there's not like a tepach above it and all that, I'm not going to get into all the details, but basically it goes up ad l'rakia. But it's matzil al taharasha b'tocho. So therefore, a kli cheres, let's go back now to the beginning. Kli cheres that's covered, sealed shut, okay? She'eino matzil al tum'asha b'tocho mi l'tamei. If there's something tummy in it, let's say you have a dead bone inside, okay? You have a dead bone inside, it will go up through the kli cheres, right? The kli cheres doesn't protect it from that. However, it's matzil al taharasha bitochomi litameh. Since it has its tami patil, it's fully shut, that means it's sealed shut. If it's in a house where there's a dead body, and we have tumat ohel, it's matami everything in there, except for something that's in a kli cheres that's totally sealed. So even though the tumah comes out of it, the tumah can't get into it. Okay? So here it says, right, so tumah ritzutza bokav ola ala rakia. And okay, so ma kli cheres hamukaf tzami petil sheino matzil ala tumah shebitochami litameh. So if you have this kli cheres, I'm going back to the beginning and I'm going to skip this to Amar Mar because that's an aside. I'm going to keep the flow. So the kli cheres that has a tzami patil that doesn't protect tumah that's inside it from litameh, meaning tumah will go out of it, and yet matzil al tahara shebitocho militameh adam. Okay, so yet it protects a tahara shebitocho. And that won't be, right, this is, One second. In other words, Milah Tame from Adam, right? I didn't read it right. That's fine. Matzil al tarasha b'tocho Milah Tame. It won't, right? Something inside will be protected. So here comes our analogy. Adam shematzil al tumasha b'tocho Milah Tame. If a person can protect the tumah that's inside, that doesn't make him tame, right? He can go tovel in a mikvah, even though he has something inside him. Whereas the kli had something inside and the tumah came out of him. So wouldn't you then say, logically, it should be able to protect anything inside it from making something else tame?
So a woman who's pregnant with a kohen, theoretically, like her son is a kohen,
Woman who's pregnant, right? Because yeah, so it should you should say that it would protect it from becoming tame. Exactly that. Yeah, that's interesting. That's a really good relevant. But you didn't. That's interesting.
I had an interview with somebody in a shul, and they called and said, "There's a funeral." So we'll meet downstairs. Like, there's a funeral. I'm not coming.
That's so interesting. Wow. I mean, there are things in general about pregnant women not going to cemeteries for other reasons.
Yeah,
but
I know David was
that's interesting.
To have a boy, which I didn't.
Right. That's very interesting. Okay, so shouldn't it basically protect what's inside, which is exactly this case? I want to look that up now.
Yeah.
So,
Kohen, pregnant.
Okay, so now they say, wait, you can knock out that kal vachomer, because what could you say? Ma l'kli cheres she'em mitamei migabo. Kli cheres has a unique halacha that what? That it's not mitame migabo. If something touches it on the outside, remember, it doesn't make anything tame on the inside. We have all these differences in cheres, kli matechet. So if something touches the outside of the kli, it's not mitame anything that's inside. So therefore, what could you say? Tomar ba'adam shemitame migabo. So what do you see here? Adam is more mitame things than kli cheres. Because if you touch an adam on his back, you will be mitame the adam. So you can't say, you know, kli cheres is so, right, has so much more power to be metame because the tumah can come out of it since if you touch the gav of the kli, it's not going to be metame. So therefore, this would knock out this kal vachomer. So then they say, what do you mean? Adrabah, what do you mean? No. Dafka kli cheres, yes, it's true, it's not metame migabo, but it's more chamor from Adam. How so? What's the other thing we remember about a kli cheres? Kli cheres chamor shekei metame me'aviro. Even if something gets in the airspace of the kli cheres, it's matami. Now, if something gets in the airspace of Adam, it goes into your mouth, and it's just in the airspace of your mouth, but you don't close your mouth on it, it's not going to become tameh. That's just airspace. It has to actually touch the Adam for it to be matami. So there you see kli cheres is more machmir, and you can basically use this as your proof. That's how we know it's not matami inside. What's inside? The body protects it from becoming tameh. Eshlecham balua de lamala. So we understand now if you swallow something through your mouth. Balua dilemata minayin, minalan. Here comes the more disgusting part of today's job. What if you put something up through the anus and, you know, it goes through there rather through the mouth? Minalan, how do we know? Kavachomer, they say, oh, it's a kavachomer. In other words, they assume balua means you swallowed it. Okay, what if it got swallowed up by the body from some other place? Umalamala she'eno ose ikul matzil, lamata she'ose ikul eno din she'matzil. It's... What's the assumption? The assumption here is that it gets digested into your body. Now, where's digestion happen? In the lower part of your body, not the upper part of your body. So if it goes through the upper part of your body and it's going to be matzil, even though there's no ikul going on there, all of the mocha, if it goes through the bottom of your body, will it be more likely that it, you know, that's where ikul is happening? So then they say, wait a minute, no, but... But wait, if something goes in through your anus, it's not going to start digesting it there. Ela al yidei mala. How does digestion work? It goes through the top part of your body and goes down and gets digested. They still afilu hachi still ikul de lamata rav. The ikul that's going on down below is much stronger. You know, so that's where like the real action is happening. Okay. So far, what have we proven? Tuma balua, and right, that it's tuma balua is not, doesn't become tame, and tuma balua also isn't mitame other things. So eshkacham balua da adam. So far, we found proofs for a person. Balua de behema minalan. What about an animal? Kavachomer, simple kavachomer. Once we know adam, we can know behema. Why? ما אדם שמטמא מחיים מציל בבלוע, a person can be metame when he's dead, as a dead body, and it can also, person can have, can get, become tame when he's alive. If you remember, we learned the balei chayim are not metame, right? They never become tame when they're alive. Only when they die do they can carry chuma of chuma nevela. Or, right, they can become tame, but they can't become tame when they're alive. So if Adam, that's metame mechayim, matzil bebalua, and yet, right, he's more chamor because he's metame when he's alive, and yet can protect something that's inside of it, behema she'ena metama mechayim, the behema itself that can't become tame when it's alive, ain't odin she'tatzil bebalua. So now they try to reject this kavah chomer. But there's another chumra, now that this shows Adam is more likely to become tame. But there's a kula by Adam when it comes to tuma. As opposed to a behema. Okay. When it comes to a bayit menuga, okay, you have a bayit that's that has leprosy. So the pasuk says, just find the pasuk for a minute, Vayikra Yudalid Mem Vav. Okay, it says, Haba ela bayit, kol yimei hizgiro, to yitmar erev. If you come in the house, right, while it's closed off by the kohen, quarantine, right, then you become tameh. V'hashochev b'bayit, and if you sleep in the house, yichabeset b'gadav, you will then make your b'gadim tameh. V'haochel b'bayit, and if you eat in the house, yichabeset b'gadav. Now, what's implied from that pasuk? Only if you actually sleep or eat, not if you just walk in the door. When you walk in the door, you become tameh. It sounds like your clothes don't become tameh until you either sleep or eat, right? Okay. So, now they're going to say, mal adam shekein tzarich shehiya bebeit hamenuga. His kelim will only get tameh if he waits there a little bit. Okay, the assumption is he has to wait b'chdei achila pras, the amount of time it takes him to eat or half a loaf of bread. Tomar bebehema she'enat tzricha shiyah bebeit hamenuga. If behema walks in with kelim on it, the kelim become tameh immediately. So what do they say? Behema de'enat tzricha shiyah bebeit hamenuga. Wait, but this doesn't show anything because what? When does a behema not need shiyah? Lema hilchata lekelim sha'al gaba. Adam nami lo bai. There's two different types of ways a person could walk into a house with kelim. He could walk into a house like I am right now, wearing my clothes. Those clothes will only become tameh once I start to eat. You know, once some time elapses. But if I'm carrying a backpack on my back, then it's going to become tameh immediately. So when we say Adam is more kal than a behema, because it needs shiyah, but compare Adam and behema in the right way. Behemot don't wear clothes. Behema will be coming carrying something on its back. That will become tameh immediately. Likewise, the Adams also will become tameh immediately. Ditnan hanichnas lebeit hamenuga bekelav al ktefav. Right, if his begadim were on his shoulder, v'sandalav tabotav biyadav, he's carrying his shoes or his sandals or his rings in his hands. Hu vehein tameh miyad, they become tameh miyad. Hayal labush kelav v'sandalav beraglav tabotav etzba'o hu tameh miyad vehein torin ad sheshev b'chdei achila pras. Now they're going to tell you even more. They have to wait achila pras. What kind of pras? Pat chitim v'lo pat zorim. Has to be, chitim are easier to eat than sorim. It's lighter bread. So it's something that takes a little quicker. And mesev ochel b'liftan. Okay? This means you have to recline. It's someone who's reclining and eating while dipping it into something because it's quicker to eat your bread when you're dipping. And it's quicker to eat. This is interesting. I thought it a nice way to end. It's quicker to eat by sitting than by standing. Because when you're standing, you get distracted. When you're sitting, you're just focusing on your eating. So, right. I thought someone could argue differently. You're eating, standing, you just quickly eat. But here they're saying, no, dafka, when you sit, it's quicker. That's the time. You calculate how much time it would take to eat pat chitim while you're mesed and you're dipping it in something. That's going to be the quickest amount of time it will take you. That's the amount of time that you will become tameh. So in the end, we tried to say that, and as again, where are we going? How do we get balua de behema? We learn it from a kavah chomer me'adam, because Adam, when he's alive, is matzil balua, right? And he's metame when he's alive, whereas a behema is never metame. We tried to say maybe there's this kula by Adam about his kelim, but then we showed that there's really no parallel between the Adam and behema in that case, and the parallel would show that they're both the same, which means one, you know, they're both carrying, in which case that's not a rejection of the kavah chomer. Okay.
But why didn't they use the kula of the Adam that we can metahir ourselves? Mm. And animals can't.
Right, that's interesting. Yeah, they don't use that. Mm-hmm.